This is Dr. Kim, licensed clinical psychologist and host of Love to Heal. Today, we have the incredible founder of one of the finest treatment centers in the world. His name is Asher Gottesman. We're so excited that you're here today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kim. And you pronounced my last name perfectly. Wow.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. And I should mention that you're also the host of your own podcast.
I sure am.
Yes. And that is called Showing Up. So we're so excited. Now, I know it's been a long journey to get to be a founder and owner of a treatment center, but what are some of the highlights? Like, what got you there? I know you were a businessman before that happened. Some other things happened along the way, but what were some of the highlights in the road to get you to actually where you are today?
That's a great question. So it's really everything comes from my recovery. I like to share a story that it actually started with my relationship with my dad. You know, I'm the son of an Orthodox rabbi. And when I actually open up my AA share, I say I'm the son of an Orthodox. I grew up like everybody else in this room, the son of an Orthodox rabbi. And right. it gets a good chuckle. Yet at my son's bar mitzvah, I actually told my dad, I said, my entire life, Dad, I ran away from you because I didn't want to be like you. And I didn't want to not be like you. In case you were right, right? I didn't want to not be religious in case you were right. I didn't want to get burned at the stake, as they say. And what ended up happening is you were my greatest teacher.
Oh.
And you gave unconditional love to Jewish youth, and I give unconditional love to people who suffer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I changed it a bit and realized that I receive unconditional love from people who suffer versus I give it. And, you know, that's so... My entire life, I really had this massive pit in my stomach that I filled with so many different substances, let's call it, whether it was drugs, alcohol, sex, who knows what. It was just, and ultimately, the only thing that really filled that void was being in a service role, was helping people for fun and for free, and which ultimately led me into this world and to be in an organization where I get to, on a full-time basis, help people.
It's so fascinating. And there's something about you. You know what? The irony is you just posted something, I think, about humility. And that's like one of the things that comes to mind for you, because this individual that we're speaking with today has accomplished so much in the industry, and how humble he is it can be very surprising, considering, you know, how much he's actually accomplished. So that humility is really, it really comes across. But I'm imagining that there were some setbacks along the way to get here. What did you do about those? I mean, were they ego wounding? How did you stay resilient?
So that's a great question. You know, it's interesting. This morning, I actually woke up with anxiety, you know, and I think it's important to share because, you know, we all want to talk about the good stuff. Yet, you know, I woke up with, you know, I don't want to call it debilitating, but it was a huge kind of anxiety attack. And today I have the tools. I breathe, I pray, I meditated, I still took a shower, I still got out of bed. And, you know, so, you know, yet it reminded me that without the tools, I'm not that far. I'm no different than, you know, you talk about humility. I'm no different than the people I get to work with.
Right.
No, yet I just have the tools today. So, which allows, you know, the humility to, you know, to come in. Yet, yeah, there were many ego bruises along the way. Many, you know, I got my butt kicked, and I got my butt kicked, which led me to get sober. You know, some people, they don't have to get their butt kicked to find recovery. I did. Mm-hmm. I went from a multi-million dollar business to a business failure, you know, and, you know, I had marriage failure, business failure. You know, I didn't see myself as a good father. I thought myself, my only value to the world was finances. So yeah, sure. There was major ego bruising, and I needed it all stripped away from me so that I can begin to work on myself. I mean, the gift was my relationship with my children didn't get stripped away from me, you know, my children's mother. We have a great relationship.
Nice.
And I learned in recovery how to be present. And that was the greatest gift I received. There have been many setbacks. And also when I did the business, you know, I also got the ego going, thinking I help people. I change people. I make the
right.
it's a load of BS, right?
Huh.
I'm here to provide a safe space, right? Or we are there. Us helpers are there to provide a safe space, for others to heal themselves, for others to find their own way.
It's so true. And, you know, you are very prolific when it comes to talking about the ego. And that can be really difficult for people that are ambitious, or sometimes, like a lot of people that are listening, have histories of being bullied, while simultaneously maybe having parents that were actually nurturing and felt like they could do anything or do no wrong. And that combination can really make for an ego wound that makes people a little bit more ambitious. So getting across those hurdles can be really impactful as far as knowing how to deal with those things and being more centered and realizing it's not about the self and all of those things. I know one story you told about 12-step meeting had something to do with, potentially something to do with ego. And I found it really fascinating. I wanted to know if you could share it with me. What were the barriers to going into 12-step originally? What did you think of it? And then how did you subsequently get open to it?
I'll tell you, buddy, that you say subsequently. For many years, I pronounced the word subsequently, by the way.
Okay.
And I still do it just for fun now.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I get people doing it. It's kind of funny. They'll find themselves saying this stuff, pronouncing it incorrectly. So there you go for ego. I didn't even know how to pronounce that word. No. What happened was when I first went into therapy, I went in because I believed I was a narcissist, not because I believed I was an addict. And my therapist said to me, my hardware is fine. Mm-hmm. My software is severely messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me to a 12-step meeting. And I went to what I call a low bottom 12-step meeting. What I mean by low bottom is people were talking about shooting heroin.
Right.
A drug I mean, I've seen it, but I definitely didn't use.
Mm-hmm.
And I had in my mind, you know, I used cocaine. I had some pills. I drank, you know, I was a highfalutin addict. And I came back and I said, you know, you're real, you know, a-hole. I said, not only did I lose my money and lost my dignity, you're going to compare me to a junkie on the street. Yet then I did say to him, 12 steps versus 613 commandments. I'll take 12 steps any day. And I actually went to Overeaters Anonymous because my first drug of choice is food. This is a picture of me. It's my mouse pad, but it's a picture of me and my daughter when she was 3 years old.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
today 20 years old and a mother. But if you could look, I was pretty big,
but
100 pounds bigger than I am today. There you go, side by side. So
we have that parallel because I had a similar thing. Like I was relating because I entered into with the eating disorder, and I was like one of the only ones just talking about binge eating in that facility. And so that I could relate to. And there were so many parallels with substance use, obviously not the same, but like so many parallels at the same thing. That's I've definitely resonated with that story because of that.
Yeah. And then March 19, 2008, I realized, you know, I want to die. Why am I any different? You know, why can't I just substitute heroin for cocaine or whatever it may be? And why am I looking for the differences in people?
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, with growing up in a religious community, you're trained to look at the differences, not the similarities,
mm-hmm.
which is actually the community I've created is to take all the beauty, because all the beauty from Judaism. And the reason I bring that up is so often when we have our own journey of renewal or, you know, of transformation, we want to throw everything out.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to take all the good stuff and throw out the judgment.
Wow.
Right. The negative self judgment.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to do.
That is beautiful. That's so strength based. You know, what keeps you going in this career? Because I would imagine you must have a major influx. Just the fact that you're so affable, you must have a major influx, whether it's a 12-step community or clients or parents of clients, former clients, people that whom you've touched as far as their lives, new admissions, you're touching base at that. I would imagine you're somewhat hands-on still at this point, even just because you have a big heart. I would assume that, but maybe I could be wrong, but I would assume that. So how do you actually care for yourself, or what keeps you going? What exactly keeps you going in this industry?
That's a great question. So the first thing I did do is 2 years ago, May, I brought Joni Ogle, who is a licensed clinical social worker and was running our programs in Texas. I brought her in to be the CEO of the whole company.
Smart. Okay.
And the reason I did that is I didn't want the owner to be running the company. I wanted it all run clinically. So that's number one.
Yes.
So it definitely freed me up to, it was very, very hard because I'm a control person. Yet it freed me up to do certain things that I'm able to do. So yep. That's number one.
Nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice.
Separately, I don't always have great self-care. I have to learn.
Right.
Sometimes it's hoisted and forced upon me, like the anxiety I had this morning. And I'll tell you the greatest exercise. Morning I forced myself to go out and exercise. I was a few minutes late to my class, but I made it. And you feel different. You feel great. So exercise is probably the single greatest antidepressant out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You
in addition to any medication that your doctor recommends. So I'm not here to
swap it out. But in the UK, they actually use it as the first line of treatment. So when that doesn't work, they default to meds. But of course, when we're talking about mood instability or psychosis, things like that, we can't.
So the answer is it's a learning process. It's always a learning process. Yeah.
One of the things I was able to tour years ago, your facility, and there's just something special about it. I've toured many facilities, but there was a creative component to it. There was a freedom to it. And there was something where it felt like you were helping them rebuild their identities. What are kind of like the highlights of your program? What stands out? What differentiates you a bit? And what do you think is helping as far as like giving them that edge to actually maintain sobriety?
So we've designed something called the IIP, which is our individualized intensive program. And what we found is that when you look at, it's not enough to say we are holistic. We actually have to be holistic. And what I mean by that is in our IIP program, we offer up to 10 hours of individual individual sessions a week. And in those 10 hours, you'll get nutrition, you'll get a full medical and psychiatric, so that we can start looking holistically at the person to really what's going on and work with the person to see really where are, we deal with both substance abuse and mental health. And we look at substance abuse similar to mental health because drugs and alcohol are the solution. They're not the problem. They're the short-term solution to longer-term problems. So how do we start addressing what's going on underneath and the underlying issues? So I think what really differentiates us is, A, we believe in helping people help themselves. We believe we don't have the answer. Mm-hmm. We're agnostic to what community you choose. We just want you to choose a community so that you're seen. So you see and are be seen, right? So we can't do this in an isolated state. And so, and we believe that it takes a minimum of 90 days. And so our program, our IIP program is designed as a 90-day program, and being long-term, and then you can come back to our communities anytime and be part of it. And a lot of our staff have gone through our programs. And so it's really important that, that you stay a part of. And I think that's hence community, right? Transcend Recovery Community. It's the Heights, the treatment component is called the Heights Treatment, yet it's a community. It's all about community.
Yeah, it sounds very familial. And I wonder from your perspective, why I have a bias toward 12-step because most of the clients do better when they're in a program that way. My philosophy is that, it encompasses all the prongs of contentment. So activity, connection, meaning and purpose, and then an added bonus of spirituality. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Like, how does that parallel with your program? Or why do you think 12-step works in the way that it does?
So, because it's the largest community, right? So it really, provides support anywhere in the world, right? And the 12 steps are transferable to eating, to depression, to...
Yeah.
Substances, to sex,
yep.
to whatever,
codependency,
gambling. Yeah. So yet it's really important to let people know that it says in the literature, right? We are not the end all be all solution, right? And it says in the literature that it's attraction rather than promotion, which I like very much, because you know, when you feel a need to promote something, that within of itself should give you a hint that there's something off.
That's
true. Yet, you know, it's not a treatment alternative. It's not treatment. It's community.
Thank you.
It's support, you know, and I think that's really important, because I think that the world at large today, you know, we have these separate worlds, right? This harm reduction world, which allows for using certain substances, and this abstinence world. And I say we're all the same, right? We're all trying just to help people live a better life, you know, and therefore let the, it, you know, 12 step is a great benefit, yet it's not treatment.
Right.
And, you know, so, and that's what a lot of the harm reduction people will say, well, 12 steps, you know, you're using it as treatment. I don't think so. We don't, you know, yet many of us do go to 12 step meetings. I am a 12 step person. I'm an abstinence-based 12 step person. Yet, you know, I want people to feel comfortable, and however they're going to find their way, I want them to find their way.
Love that. And I do. My definitely my bells go up when I hear people are only in 12 step if they're just starting in recovery. And usually people in 12 step will actually emphasize therapy. So they know that it goes hand in hand because they've been in
therapy
for so long. And typically it's because they have that like a trauma root, or you just have like persistent depression where they need something clinical in addition to the community.
Correct.
But a lot of our listeners are actually going through depressive episodes due to breakups, divorces, breakups. Have you actually had a lot of people come through your treatment center, or have you had experience listening to people or experiencing yourself breakups and how that actually contributes to self-sabotage or using?
Well, it continues that narrative, right? That negative self-talk narrative, right? Mm-hmm. That there must be something wrong with me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and, you know, and to me, I say an event like that, we can utilize it to ask questions.
Right.
Yeah, be curious in a, you know, Rumi has the poem called The Guest House about being curious, not being judgmental. Right. So be curious, find out why it didn't work for you. And the why shouldn't be asked in a why, what is wrong with me, why. It should be asked in a tell me more kind of fashion. Just to be curious to understand, you know, what, where you didn't meet the other person's needs and they didn't meet your needs, as opposed to your one has to be bad.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to do when somebody was glaringly cheated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They cheated on or they were lied to.
Yeah.
The hardest question in that event asks is, okay, so how, what kind of environment did I provide for something like that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And not in a negative way again. Mm-hmm. It's just what, where were we not connecting? Where were we not vulnerable? Where were we not open and honest with one another? And it's hard to, hit those buttons.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that, because I would say like toward the end of a lot of these relationships that I hear about, they typically become the one that was either cheated on or left. Typically, and this doesn't always happen, and it doesn't mean it's blaming you, but you typically become more needy. So you're losing your identity, you're becoming more needy. And now the person thinks, if I break up with them, I actually could get back with them, which makes the breakup actually much less scary. And it also makes infidelity less scary.
Right.
So for that reason, the breakup ends up being so transformative, and a lot of them end up in treatment for dual diagnoses. So they'll,
sure,
you know, and that maybe they'll even add on like a codependency meeting for 12 step again. We call it CODA. But yeah, it's definitely transformative them going through it. Since sometimes they need that breakup because it actually gives them that space to transform. So I love how you put that, just being curious, because it's not about blaming them, but be curious about what your dynamics were and what you brought to the table.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot. It's really good. Now, you have got a lot of things going at all times. I think you travel. Don't you still travel a lot, or are you traveling again?
I do.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I've been almost traveling the whole time.
Really? I'm not surprised. Asher's coming and going. I'm not surprised.
I am vaccinated, and I didn't travel recklessly. But, you know, now I get to travel for pleasure again. But
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, yeah, July 1st, I'm going to Europe. But if it was necessary, I would travel.
I love that. And what is lighting you up? Is it still the travel, or do you have some upcoming projects you're excited about? If not, are you excited still about your podcast? Tell us what you're
I'm excited about the podcast. You know, I love connecting with people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a good work of humility, because, you know, you look, when you do a podcast, you start looking at numbers, and that's how you define success as opposed to connection.
Yep.
You know, and it's not as quick as I want it to be, and it's not as great as I want it to be. You know, so it's a good, it's great lesson in humility, you know, so it's about staying in it. I'm still loving working with people. I got involved in a breathwork project that's been really, really cool and interesting. I find breathwork to be extremely beneficial. And I'm always, you know, excited about the next step and looking. I've been working on an online course in connection, and, you know, remaining curious and open to all the different possibilities is what I'm excited about.
What it sounds to me like is that you work in stimulation. So you continue to have novel projects, new projects, and people like yourself that have already accomplished a lot. I usually recommend they do like a new project every 3 months, every 6 months. You're already working that in naturally. Do you know you need to add in new projects, that you need to add in something novel because you can get bored easily? Okay. So that's something you're very cognizant of.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I treat my ADD. And instead of using medication.
I love that. Yes. Yeah.
And that's part of learning that the day-to-day stuff is not my strong suit.
And the reason I ask that is because not everybody is ambitious. So maybe not everybody wants to be a founder of something major. But maybe they're not. So we have to be aware that if we're staying stimulated and we're doing new passion projects, that can actually be amazing. And again, that breakup or that depressive episode can give us that opportunity to shake things up. And being aware, like putting that in your schedule to actually add something new to it. Because life can get stagnant. It definitely can. And sure, I think you have to put a little work into it to actually dive into things that are scary. Do you ever get nervous at this point in your career? Is there anything?
Oh my God.
I was anxious this morning about something, but do you ever get nervous about like new projects at this point?
All the time.
Really?
The time. Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, imposter syndrome is something I think I will always deal with. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. And I have to, the work is to clear out finding what's nerves and what's intuition, because I want to listen to my intuition. I just don't want to listen to my nerves.
I love that. That's really good. Yeah. I'm much more on the kind of metaphysical point right now. I'm trying to listen to more like gurus and learn more about quantum physics and things like that. Just to be a little bit more like present and also be aware of like thoughts and energies, because we can know that cognitively, like our thoughts affect our beliefs and our feelings and our behaviors. But I think to even think about it on another level, that like your energy is really affecting people palpably, like even if it's on Zoom or it's even a text you're sending, the way you send that text, I think being aware of that energy behind it is really important.
Absolutely.
So good. Well, I'm glad you're staying excited. What would you tell people that are not really doing so well right now, that maybe you're in a little bit of a dark place, and maybe even people that have a loved one that have a substance use issue? Like, what would you say as far as that goes? Is that normative right now, or what's happening?
So know that there's hope. Let's start with that. Remind yourself there's hope, no matter how dark it may seem. You know, even if you don't see it, reach out for help, be vulnerable, you know, and be willing to share that you're in a dark spot. You'll be amazed to see that people are interested in hearing about that.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm very fortunate that people like you are around and that are touching other people, because you are so transparent about the ego wounds and the setbacks, and all that does is make people of all levels feel like success is attainable. And I mean success as far as contentment and career. So it's just it's really, really a blessing to have you on today. I could keep talking to you forever, but I do want to know, where can they find you? Where can they find your treatment center if they need help?
Fantastic. So our treatment center, the easiest way is to go to Transcend, TRANSC as in Charlie, END, recoverycommunity.com, or the heightstreatment.com. The Heights is HEIGHTS. And myself, you can find me on Instagram at the Asher G. You can find me at my website, ashergottesman.com. and DM me. I do respond. I'm here to help in any way. And, you know, Dr. Kim, I'm so excited about all that you do because it's amazing. And I've seen your journey, and I'm personally appreciative for all the help you give to others. So thank you.
Thank you, Asher. And there's a reason why I was drawn to you, because, you know, when you're feeling like you're just starting out in a career and someone sees you and respects you and just like is like treats you like an equal and is like, you know, doesn't have a big ego, a chip on their shoulder and being, you know, where you were and where you are. It just is so empowering for people. So I'm very drawn to people that are so grounded and ambitious and warm and really genuinely. That's definitely why I wanted to have you on. So I'm just excited to continue watching your journey.
Thank you so much for having me on, and have the best day.
Thank you, Asher. Talk to you soon.
Bye.